John Coltrane on tenor sax, starting us off with Blue Train. And he's got a lot of really incredible musicians with him, including Lee Morgan on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Kenny Drew on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. This is a classic from 1957 from his album Blue Train. It's the title track of that album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and today I'm going to ask you to put on your analytical hats. Why? Because we deserve an explanation and some answers about something that happened this week that just got a nanosecond worth of attention. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had held over President Donald Trump's head the possibility of impeachment for his incompetent leadership of the country and the endemic corruption that became synonymous with his administration. But 2 days ago, the Democratic leader did an about-face. She didn't think impeachment of Trump was, quote, worth it, she said. Representative Adam Schiff, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, has had a similar epiphany. After following Trump's trail for months, saying how dirty it was, he too now says that impeaching Trump is not a good idea. Neither Pelosi nor Schiff is saying what exactly has caused this sudden change of mind. But I have faith in our listeners, and I believe that even without any explanation as to how this suddenly came to an end, this impeachment drill came to a sudden end, and with no real explanation to simply say, well, it's not worth it. And the only elaboration was that it was going to be more divisive than it was going to be beneficial to the nation. That's not quite an explanation, you see. Something has happened here, and that's the question I pose to you. What has happened? What has caused this about-face? What do you think could possibly have happened to have both Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, both very critical of Trump, and both previously entertaining, at least from our point of view as observers, the idea of now mounting the effort to impeach, now saying that forget about it, let's move on. Well, in politics, that just doesn't happen like that. Something is accounting for this sudden about face, and I think we ought to explore it at 888-874-4888. What could possibly have happened? Or what might still be happening that accounts for this dramatic change, this dramatic turn of events, where two major leaders of the party who were sending signals that this would be the next phase of the battle with the Trump administration and with the president himself, they're now saying, ah, we don't think so. But we'll move on. And without giving an explanation, that makes sense. And besides that, the dynamic tells us a lot. Because how is it that after all these other legislators were talking about impeachment, only two, just two of them, Pelosi and Schiff, were all that was needed to just shut everything down? And we haven't seen or heard of any kind of objection. I mean, how did they get the power to counter the feelings and the commitments of all other Democratic leaders who were championing impeachment? Now, I'm not saying that yes, they should impeach or no, they should impeach. I'm saying only that we saw something developing. We had quite a large group of Democrats leaning toward impeachment. And that included the two who ended up saying, ah, forget it. Something stinks. What do you think it might be? Peter from New Jersey, we'll start with you. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Therese.
Hello.
Hello. How are you
Yes,
doing?
listening. I'm listening to you. I'm
That's
fine.
good. I'm gonna make this real short. The deep state and the Trump administration, well, this whole thing has come to a truce. They got some dirt on them. That's the only thing. I'm gonna make this short, and I'm gonna leave the rest to you. They got dirt on them. All
They
right,
who?
so that's the Trump administration.
Okay, but how does it explain Pelosi and Schiff telling America and the world that this push that was being made for impeachment is really not viable or valid?
Like I said, they came to a truce. They had the dirt on them. And that would include the Clintons and all of them. You go see a lot of stuff just disappear. That's all I have to say. All right. But thank you
All right.
very much.
Thank you very much for calling in. Tony from Orlando, what explains this mysterious about face in your view?
Hi, Therese. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Well, I believe that the whole premise for the original reason that they were going to impeach Trump was due to the claim that he colluded with Russians to win the presidency. Mueller's report's about to come out, and there's not going to be any evidence to back that up. So basically, they're going back to the drawing board. So what they're going to do is they're not. The reason they're retracting from the impeachment is because, like you keep talking about, whatever you want to make a claim on something, you have to come with your evidence. You have to be prepared to come and show forth a plan. You have to have a plan. And they don't have the plan in place to produce the necessary votes for impeachment right now. So what they're going to do is, see, and it's surprising that you said Adam Schiff also. I heard Nancy Pelosi say it, but I was not aware that Adam Schiff was. And Adam Schiff is somebody that has been digging into Trump since Trump got into office. Now, Adam Schiff is currently still investigating Trump. See, now they're going from Russia collusion, which is pretty much, you don't hear about that anymore. And now they're going to start digging into his finances and business dealings. So until they get concrete evidence that they can impeach him, they have to take it off the table.
But what then, the question has to be raised, what was it that persuaded them all these months and months ago that it looked like they had the makings of a case for impeachment? It wasn't just about one charge. It was about a whole bunch of things this president was doing. Abuse of power. We had lies. We had the violation of many constitutional proscriptions against abuse of power. All these things. It wasn't just one charge. They were contemplating, and they were sure up until, well, of course, 2 days ago, that they were on course. What do you think happened?
I'm of the mindset that although people are unhappy with the way he has been running the country, the main evidence that they were going to use to impeach him was the colluding with Russians to gain a favor, you know, pretty much to delegitimize his presidency. And now that the Mueller report has churned up nothing as far as anything that directly connects to Trump. I mean, they've arrested Cohen, Manafort, all kinds of other people have gone to jail, but nothing has directly connected anything to Trump, to Russia. So now they have to go back to the drawing board, and they're going to dig into his finances and try to find something in there that's going to be big enough to delegitimize him from being president.
So is that what Nancy Pelosi means by it's not worth it to embark on this fishing expedition?
At this time, it's not worth it to impeach him at this time. I do believe they are going to attempt to impeach him in the future if further investigations provide any evidence for him to be impeached.
Okay. You make a solid argument. I don't know if I agree, but I can't disagree with you. You make it very hard for me to disagree with you today. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing. Ed from Queens, what could possibly account for these two Democratic leaders who have been on the sniffing trail for months and making it clear that they were on the trail called impeachment, suddenly deciding without any further explanation that it's, as Pelosi said, it's not worth it?
Hello. Good afternoon, Eutrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm good. To be totally honest with you, I don't believe they ever were going to impeach Donald Trump. I mean, I just don't think they it was just a lot of rhetoric. It was a lot of it sounded good at the time. And now that the chickens are coming home to roost, I think there's two major problems with it. Number one, I don't believe that they can actually prove collusion. I think there's innuendos of collusion, but I don't think they actually have the ironclad proof to bring it through. Number two, these Republicans are insane, and they will never. They need at least the Senate. The House can bring the charges, but the Senate is needed to actually prosecute. And the Republicans will never do that. They're going to follow. They're going to go to the grave with this guy, unless it's something like atrocious. I mean, even he said it himself. He could go down in Times Square and shoot somebody, and they still wouldn't impeach him or indict him. So, yeah, there's a small fringe of fanatical Americans that actually believe this man can walk on water. And I don't think that Pelosi wants to take the opportunity to risk impeaching him and fail. So I don't think they ever plan to do it. I mean, they made a lot of talk about it. They raised a lot of hullabaloo because it sounded good. But I don't think they ever plan to really push the issue and impeach him. Are there criminal charges that exist? I believe so. I believe there's embezzlement charges. There's financial charges that eventually will come out as far as how much he's done for the powers that be, for what you want to call the deep state or the ruling class, how much he has done as far as the tax rebates and those things. That'll protect him to a certain extent. If there's some extensive criminal charges, I don't know. I don't see him being prosecuted after he's voted out in 2020. I think everybody's counting on the fact that he's not going to make it past 2020. And I just don't believe that the old guard Democrats have the stomach or the wherewithal to really push impeachment. I think it sounded good, but now that the chickens are coming home to roost, they're backing out. And that's what I think this is.
But was collusion the only reason that they embarked on this exercise to explore impeachment?
Well, it's what they pushed. I mean, but if you look at the actual writing for impeachment, it's corruption, it's lack of moral perpetuity, corruption, high crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors are the last two things that you can impeach a president for. If they really wanted to impeach him, he's corrupt. He has no moral fiber. I mean, you know, he's totally corrupt. It goes without saying, even before he became president, before he became selected president of the United States, his corruption is known. He has no moral fiber. He's an adulterer. He's a philanderer. He brags about it. So, I mean, on those statutes alone, you could have pushed for impeachment. And they didn't. The collusion sounded good. I mean, if they could find irrefutable evidence, like some type of tape that was mentioned in the beginning or some type of file or something, I think they would have no choice to go for it because that would force the Republicans' hands. But right now, it's just smoke and mirrors. I don't think anything substantial enough has been found to push impeachment on those grounds. And like I said, I think from the beginning they were never going to really impeach him. I think it was just a lot of talk. It sounded good. Now everybody's putting their hopes on 2020.
But, you know, that is embarrassing because, okay, let's say they have had a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about the views of the rest of the party? They are still here that there are impeachable offenses that this president has committed and that they should pursue, you know, just fleshing these out some more because they're quite serious, including taxes and decisions having to do with deployment of soldiers and all kinds of other things other than collusion that was not the be-all and end-all of the central basis of the charge or charges, but that the charges included a broad spectrum of abuses by the president, the lying, the misrepresentations, the tax problems, and cronyism, and a lot of other things that were going on. So mm-hmm. when two people in the Democratic Party essentially cancel out what others in the party, at least from their actions and their statements, had taken seriously as a mission with regard to Donald Trump and taking him on. What does that do you think, to the party?
Well, the party has done it to itself. The party is fractionated. The party is fractionated, and when you're really dirty, when you're just as dirty as the guy you're trying to call dirty, it becomes an issue of the pot calling the kettle black. And I think that's really what it is. There's so much influence of monetary influence. There's so much corruption in Washington, D.C. In that of itself, that even though this president is a blatant outstanding a circumstance of corruption, the other corruptions that go on don't allow these people to have the moral, don't allow these people to have the what they call this testicular fortitude to make an honest claim at justice and try to put this man on the cross. They can't do it because they're dirty themselves. I think that there's too much corruption, and they'd rather just let this die so their corruption can remain hidden, and hopefully this guy will go away in 2020 and we'll be able to move on with, unfortunately, what they're looking at as business as usual. I think that's it. I think it sounded good. It looked good to say, hey, look at him. He's lousy. He's terrible. But then when you point a finger at somebody, you got four fingers pointing back at yourself. And if they really started to hit him and everything starts to come out, I think they couldn't stand the light of day. So it's a mutual exception for total corruption, unfortunately. That's what this government has come to in my eyes.
So what does this do to loyal Democrats who, when this was announced, that they were going to look into the possibility of impeachment of the president, and not just the two of them, but many other Democrats had publicly voiced a view that this is what the party ought to do, challenge Donald Trump with impeachment. And now, what do you think this development might have done to the view of the larger community of Democrats?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's going to cause a lot of disillusionment. I think it's going to be an issue for them with the large field of possible nominees that are in the picture now. I think there's like 18 or 20 people running for the Democratic nomination for president. And it's going to show a lack of consolidation. It's prime time for a third party. I mean, I know it's a little short notice, but this could be the groundswell for the development of a viable third party, because people are becoming disillusioned. And, you know, we've got false promises. We've got Democratic founders of the party flipping and stumbling and trying to cover their own butts. So, I mean, this could be the only thing that has these concerned is that with so much division, it stands that this guy could get another term, could get another 4 years. And that's the only thing that really gives me pause, because we don't want him for another 4 years. But with this division, with the wishy-washiness, with the saying, okay, we're going to impeach, we got him. Now, when the investigations are finally coming to closure and evidence is going to be presented, you know, it's too much trouble. That besmirches anything you're trying to do. So it's time. It's been a long, high time for a third party, but this might be the nail that really drives it home for the people, because I don't think the people are going to have any respect for the Democratic Party at large. I know I don't personally.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your contribution today, Ed. We go next to Delaware. Emilio, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, you, Trees.
Hi.
I think the reason, the timing, as far as the timing on the statements by Pelosi and Schiff, are because I agree with most of the callers that there's nothing that implicates Trump in terms of collusion with the Russian to win the presidency. But as far as the story, I think the story itself was concocted by the Democratic Party to distract from all of the failures and all the corruption during the actual the primaries and the contest itself. The Democratic Party has never accounted for any of that. they needed to focus attention on something else, because if they would have really accounted for all of this stuff that happened that they did, for example, to Bernie Sanders and with the superdelegates and all that to kind of make Hillary the nominee, I think that they would have been very humiliated and embarrassed, and they weren't willing to go through that. I think they should have. I think from the very beginning, that was the whole point of coming up with this Russia-Trump collusion. And I think that they've done a very good job.
We learned over the course of time, between the time they started and fairly recently, that collusion was not the only reason to explore impeaching the president.
No, I'm not saying that the impeachment. I don't think they wanted. I kind of agree with Ed. I think it was Ed that said that they were never going to impeach him anyway. I think they just needed something to distract, especially the Democrats, from the real reason why Hillary lost the election. I think that a lot of Democrats, I used to be a Democrat, didn't want her to be president for a lot of reasons. And a lot of people did not go to the polls or decided they were going to vote for the Green Party, which I did, because there was no way I was going to vote for Trump, but I wasn't going to vote for Hillary either. But when those WikiLeaks emails came out, and they implicated people like Podesta and I don't remember the female Wasserman and those four very high people up in the DNC, they had to resign. They thought that was going to put an end to it. At least in my eyes, it didn't. I think the whole purpose of this talk about impeachment, in my eyes, was to just distract people. That's what I firmly believe. I believe that from the very beginning. As far as other reasons to impeach him, I'm sure that there may be other reasons to impeach him, but I don't think that they're willing to go through that. I agree with most of the callers that they're just hoping that in 2020 that he's going to lose. But I would not count Trump out. I would not count Trump out.
What does this do, in your view? You said you were a Democrat. Presumably you no longer are. But what does this do to the faith of a typical Democrat in the party leadership that supposedly says what it means and means what it says?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm not a Democrat. But I guess it would, again, disillusion. You know, if you haven't already left the Democratic Party, here's another reason why you should. To me, it just has more fuel to the fire for someone to say, you know what, I think it's time for a third party. I don't agree with that in terms of, you know, third party. I don't think it's time, because you got to build that third party. And I don't think it's going to happen by 2020. But what it could do is start chipping away at that Democratic base. I firmly believe that people have to walk away from the Democratic Party. And once they do that, you know, you give your power to the party. People don't seem to understand that. They have no power without you. So with you, you give them your power. If we all decided we didn't want to be part of the Democratic Party anymore, then we'd either get them, A, to change, or B, we'd get something else to take its place. But if you're a Democrat and you see what's going on and you see what happened here with this spending 2 years focused on trying to get Trump out of office, while there's so many other things that we could have focused on and taken care of, I think that they've accomplished their mission. The DNC, the leadership of the Democratic Party, has gotten everybody thinking that for the last 2 years that Hillary lost because of Trump, when in reality the Democrats lost because they're just clueless. I think I think they're not very organized. They're clueless. They don't really represent the working people anymore. They're just like, I mean, your listeners know they're just the you know, just, they're just like the Republican Party, but then socially they tend to be a little bit more liberal, and they play the identity politics. But when it comes to the really the things that really matter, like health care and employment and war and all those kinds of things, they're just like the Republicans. So to answer your question, the short thing would be they would be disillusioned, angry, and that so much time was invested in trying to get Trump impeached for that reason, that I would be very angry. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you just had Pelosi scoring a major triumph over Trump with you know, the showdown over the wall. And you had Schiff nipping at his heels all this time. What now do we think about them? What are we supposed to feel about them as key people in the struggle against the Trump administration, as leaders of the party, and now this about-face with no further explanation other than, well, we don't think it's going to be worth it. I mean, how are we supposed to think about this leadership, and should it be challenged? Should they be thrown out?
Well, I'm going to be very honest, because, you know, I don't really look at these particular things, these actions, as changing my mind in any way. Because I've already made up my mind that that these people are not there to seriously change anything. Pelosi, for example, I mean, especially her, she's the status quo. So I long ago have realized that, and I put most of my emphasis and focus on people like Ocasio, people like Tulsi Gabbard, people that are really trying to change things. So as far as what Pelosi does, she's a wounded warrior, just like Schiff is. And as far as what they do, it really doesn't matter to me, because I don't really see them as the future of the Democratic Party. They're part of something that should have died a long time ago. That's the only way I can put it, Utrecht. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I've gotten off that bandwagon a long time ago.
You did a great job. Thanks so much for giving us yet another dimension of the story. And, you know, the thing that burned me up is, you know, it was just said in a kind of offhanded way as she was walking down the hallway. And she told the reporters, oh, I'm going to make news. And then comes the statement that it's not worth it going after Trump to impeach him. And then shortly after that, we have Schiff making his statement. Mm-hmm. I said, this can't possibly be coincidental. Something is happening here, and we need to start asking some questions about it.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much, Emilio, for your input today. Thank you so much. Let's go to Georgia next. And that's where we find Donald.
Hotep, Beatrice.
Thank you, Hotep.
Look here, I admit I am crazy. I think about some of the wildest things. So
that's how you start off? I admit I am crazy.
If you think I'm too far, I'll just hang up on me. But I've been thinking about the same thing since Nancy Pelosi said that. And one thing keeps dangling in my mind. Trump's people and the head person in Congress said, well, I take her at her word. Now, it makes me believe that maybe they know Trump is not going to run in 2020. Nobody knows what's in Mueller's thing, but it seems to be a consensus that Mueller is dealing and the attorney in New York is dealing in Trump's finances. And they're stepping close to his kids. And I think that's kind of putting extreme fear in Trump. And I think he's really win on whether to run or not to run. Plus, what made me think about that, I think some of the conservatives of the Republican Party, I was listening halfway asleep, but I heard them say, we don't like Pence. We don't want Pence to be the next president. So I think it might have something to do with him running in 2020, or just maybe deciding not to run. And I think Pelosi knows that. Point number two is, I also think Pelosi knows that her time is running thin. If this election brings about more progressives, well, then she's in deep trouble, because right now the progressives has bucked her one or two times already, and if they get more clout, she may not be the top dog after 2020. She may not be the top dog.
Wouldn't this, you know, if they had proceeded as they said they were on this the line of impeachment, would this not have brought to both Pelosi and Schiff, and especially to the Democratic Party, a great deal more clout at precisely the time that they and the party need it?
Yeah, but they're not concerned about the party. They're concerned about their control over the party. And they're owned by all the oligarchs, what you want to call them, oligarchs, are rule elite. So they're doing what their masters are telling them to do. As once before, I never liked Pelosi. You know, I think she's all for herself, all for her interests. She's trying to make things cushiony when she leaves her and guy's name, but they don't care about the Democratic Party. It's just a vehicle for him to enrich themselves. That's all. When those young bucks and females warriors coming in, that's making her nervous. Everybody said, on Chris Matthews' show, when Pelosi was elected to be head of the party, once again, he said, oh, Nancy got them under control. See how skillful she was? But when they bucked her, when the Castro and them bucked her, and when that lady in Minnesota, when she said the same things about Israeli policy as she said and refused to back down and double down, Pelosi kind of took note of that and said, uh-oh, you know, maybe this is my time is up. Maybe I need to bow gracefully. Same thing with Schiff. Same thing with Trump.
But this is not a graceful bow out. This is not bowing out gracefully. If anything, it connotes fear of some sort. It proves that there is a divide in the party. Yeah, when you have a lot of people in the party, you know, thinking that the next big brawl that they're going to have and the next big fight to put Trump out of our misery is, you know, the impeachment. And then we have two leaders of the party saying, forget it.
Right. I agree with you that we don't think it's a bow, but the way the pundits will put a spin on it, if she decides to leave instead of getting put out, where they gonna put a spin on it? It all depends on how they can spin it. That's what she's looking at.
So, is this a net gain or a net loss, or is no particular impact on the Democratic Party at this point?
Well, I'm not a Democrat, okay, but I say this. Anytime you can get some new blood, young blood, positive young blood in the party, I think it's a net gain. It may be a negative effect short term, but I think in the long term it'd be good for the Democratic Party. It'd be good for the Republican Party. It'd be good for the Independent Party. It'd be good for the nation, because you have a new blood come in with very creative ideas. The mere fact that they're even talking about socialism now, it to me It's something good. You know, not that it's a cure, all this, that, and the other, but they're talking about something new, something that's different from this damn two-party system, something that's different from capitalism. It might be that someone else talk about something different than socialism, a mix of this, a mix of that. I think that's good. I think that's real good.
So now we left with a wreckage, in a way, because the party has done to itself a great deal of damage by first giving people the impression they're moving in one direction, and now comes the about face, and then, on top of that, no real explanation. So it leaves the Democrats to come up with their own interpretation of what just happened here.
It leaves the Democrats in disarray, which is something I like. I wish it just fracture all the pieces and rebuild. People rebuild something else. I really, right now, I'm kind of gleeful at what's happening. I'm kind of gleeful. I do not like the direction that the Democrats have taken. I long ago wished that the party would fracture. I long ago wished that. That's why I left the party a long time ago. As for one, I'm like Claude Anderson. I don't believe voting will do anything for you unless you have power to begin with. So I'm glad to see the Democrats fraction. They haven't done nothing for black folks in 50 years. Not even with your President Obama. The only person that did something for black folks is Johnson, and he had Keene put pressure on him. So no, I'd like to see the party fractured. I'd like to see this whole system fractured.
Well, that's a great, very different view. And I thank you for contributing that view to us today to give us another dimension of thought about what just happened and seemed to be, or it is being made to seem to be, a matter of, Democratic Party leaders making a decision and then moving forward. No big deal. This is not a big deal. Don't think about it as a big deal. Just keep moving on. Thank you so much, Donald, for your contribution today. From Chicago, Henry, what's going on? What are your thoughts about the subject?
Hi, Etrice. How you doing?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. My thoughts on it, and I'm thinking in a more recent historical view. With Donald Trump not getting funding for his wall, which was spearheaded by Nancy Pelosi, I think that was more of a power play, and basically it's just the realization that Nancy Pelosi has the upper hand over Donald Trump. So it doesn't matter if he's president or not, she's going to have the final say. So basically that situation kind of hangs over Donald Trump's head, that he took a big L in that budget government shutdown thing. So I think Pelosi just realizes, hey, I don't need him impeached. He can stay in how he wants to. I'm just going to make his life a living hell. So, I mean, that's kind of like my take on it. I think she's just made a power play in Congress, and basically, and just like with everybody else, I think she's also fractured the Democratic Party as well. But I don't think she cares about that. She cares about herself, and she is in a position of power right now.
But even so, that means that the party's weak. If it doesn't have the resiliency, if it doesn't have within it the strength to say, to keep your leader in line, because the decision to pursue impeachment wasn't a casual one. A lot of the elected officials, I'm sure, carefully explored all kinds of reasons, all kinds of grounds on which it should proceed. We shared with you on this particular program the testimony, and I remarked about it back then. You saw the friction and the division when Congressman Al Green from Texas went to the floor to make his statements regarding grounds for impeachment of the President of the United States. Collusion with Russia was not among them. He talked about real life reasons that this president will have no defense or very little defense against the charges that he raised, corruption and cronyism and questions about his budget, how he's using it and abusing it, all abuse of authority. These are the points that he raised. He never talked about collusion with Russia. He talked about dereliction of duty as a president of the United States. So I don't get it that both Schiff and Pelosi, who weren't, you know, they weren't a team before, are now both convinced that it isn't in the best interest of the party to proceed with getting this president indicted for charges and proceeding with the whole effort to get him out of office using this method, you know, of Congress to get him out. But so I have to ask, in your view, what happened here? What is happening?
Well, and don't get me wrong, this aggressiveness that this thing with them pursuing impeachment charges against Trump, I honestly think they weren't serious about it. I think it was all a show because the Democratic Party took a huge beating in the 2016 election. So it was basically a show because, you know, you just talked about Al Green. He was standing there by himself when he was, you know, talking about these impeachment, which made me think at that point that party wasn't serious about impeaching Donald Trump. They just wanted to be relevant. They just wanted to be in the conversation because of the fact that they took a beating in that presidential election. So now you come up now to a point where you had the midterms and the Democrats had made some strides in getting the House. They still don't have the Senate, which means that they basically don't have enough to impeach Donald Trump legally anyway. But now with this, like I said, I think it was all about Nancy Pelosi. She has slithered her way back into, you know, the House Speaker, because I remember when the House Speaker position was up, there were a lot of Democrats who were, you know, against it. But she happened to slither her way back into it. And now she has some sort of advantage over Donald Trump. I think, like I said, the wall thing was one thing. There's something else there that I can't put my finger on that's there as well. But I just think that the impeachment process or the impeachment talk, as I say, with the Democrats, it was just talk, just to make them relevant in the conversation.
I must ask you this question. Do you see an element here of the decision by Pelosi and Schiff essentially underscoring a racial rift within the party? The vast majority, it seems, of members of the party are pro-impeachment. And here we have two white leaders basically out of nowhere and presumably without discussion, just dismissing this growing interest in challenging Donald Trump via impeachment.
Oh, I mean, yes, I believe that a lot of the people of color within the party are very upset at this. But like I said, I don't think Nancy Pelosi cares about that. And I don't think she cares about the Democratic Party, because now she, you know, what she did is she actually used the party to her advantage to get the seat that she wanted. So I don't think she cares about that. And I think this other guy, what is his name? The guy we were just mentioning in the conversation.
Adam Schiff.
Yeah, Adam Schiff. Yeah, I mean, I think she's just kind of bringing him along because he was, you know, so he was the, I guess he was kind of like the front man of this whole Trump investigation where, you know, now it's like she doesn't need Donald Trump impeached no more. She has obtained some sort of power in there, and I don't think she cares about the rift in the Democratic Party right now.
So where do you expect things to go? I mean, let me ask you first, do you regard this as a major development within the party?
Oh, yes. I very much think this is a major development because, like I said, I think Nancy Pelosi has seated herself in a powerful position now.
Yeah, but what does that say about all the other folks who are members of the party? And And without support from whom, Pelosi isn't going to go anywhere.
Well, I mean, it basically says you're on your own. I got mine. You got to get yours. But I just don't think that she cares about the party right now.
Wow. Did you think you mentioned that they didn't take this issue of impeachment seriously? Who would you say are the they?
The they was the Democratic Party. You know, they were always talking about
which faction, which group within the party didn't take this seriously?
Well, I would probably say majority of the white Democrats didn't really take it seriously. Because like I said, I know there were, you know, the Black Caucus was talking about it, but you didn't hear much out of, you know, the white Democrats, you know, saying much about it. They might have mentioned it, but, you know, it was majority of the Black Caucus who was, you know, calling for impeachment. And like I said, and in a sense, they were talking about it, but I don't think they were very real about it because when Al Green went up to do those articles of impeachment, he should have had a crowd of Democrats right next to him, but he didn't.
We talked about that, but I don't think it was necessarily a flaw of his. I think it was cowardice. I think it was a reticence on the part of the members of the Black Caucus who did not want to offend the party leadership. But it was a poignant moment, I thought. Here is Green, I mean, doing his best to make a case. And, you know, you would expect after a presentation like that, that some people would come and give him a pat on the back saying good job or a handshake or something. But nothing like that happened. Well, we have to leave it there. But finish your thought and then we say goodbye.
No. That's what I want to say. Al Green was the only serious person, but he is not the total Democratic Party.
Correct. Well, at least we did our job. We raised a question, and hopefully we'll continue to raise it in order to arrive at some kind of answer, some kind of rationale for this crazy, irrational move on the part of Pelosi and Schiff. Thanks a lot, Henry. Good to hear from you. It's good to hear from everybody because your thinking is at such a high level. I can't tell you how proud I feel when you stretch out. Thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.